Hello there, and welcome back to the Rolling in the Deep podcast. I am Adele, owner of Babies on Broadway. I am here with my main gal, Summer, and today's topic discussion is going to be navigating a difficult baby. So this is something that kind of comes up a lot day to day.
Every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Working with the genre that we work with, but I think both of us have also lived through at least one for myself, difficult baby. We currently have some staff members with some difficult babies. And so we thought it would be a good subject to bring to the podcast today. So I will start with my difficult child is my older one. Now probably my more chill, easy child. I've always said like the boys have kind of flip-flopped that way. But I was on the younger side having Rem. No, he was very much like a planned baby. I was married, doing the thing. And I was 23 when I had him. So most of my friends had not had babies. And to be quite honest with you, I babysat a little bit like growing up, but I was not really around a ton of kids. I was the youngest in my family by many, many, many years. Like I had one older brother, but like no cousins, no nothing. So like I was kind of super baby naive. I just want to throw that out there. And so I'm not sure who gave me permission to leave the hospital with a baby. But I tell you what, the things I did not know. And of course, right off the get-go, I had a difficult baby. And I think difficult comes in many different forms and shapes. And so to give you kind of experience with mine, I birthed him in Little Falls. My birthing experience there, the nurses and everything were super great. Now, Rem is going to be 17 in a month here. So this was many years ago. I did end up having a C-section. Like that was kind of a little bit maybe on the more traumatic side. Breastfeeding was not going well for us right off the bat. And in the hospital, they ended up, he had lost a bunch of weight and they wanted to give him some formula. So we let him supplement with formula. And I remember like giving him this bottle and he was taking a little bit down and like chunks just like came out of his nose and he was like screaming and crying. And I had no idea if this was normal, not normal. And they sent in the pediatrician and she's like, okay, like let's actually switch his formula right then and there in the hospital, which I actually don't think happens too often, but it was very obvious. Like he wasn't really taking it very well. And so that was kind of like our start to like, he was going to be kind of tricky. Now, this is back in the day where they brought your baby to the nursery a lot. And so you'd kind of chill in your room without your child for a little while. But when they'd bring him back, to me, they had like lovingly nicknamed him like Mr. Tiz. Like he was always having a little tissy fit, they told me. I didn't know, like, honestly, what that even meant.
I quickly did.
Oh, yeah. I was real naive, though. You know, I noticed he was real noisy, like, wah, 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 like grunty and making a bunch of noise and didn't seem to, like, eat super calmly. But I had nothing to compare it to. So I just had zero clue. I mean, it was almost probably a good thing that I just had no idea. But I do remember on the day that I discharged being told good luck. And I thought that was weird, to be quite honest with you. But I also wasn't sure what that meant.
Right.
Like
is
maybe just,
they say to
yeah, like yeah, maybe like good luck on your journeys. Yeah,
right.
No, I think it, now looking back, it was like, good luck with Mr. Tiz. Thank God that kid's out of our nursery.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much. Because like his reports weren't very good from the nights generally. So they actually thought at one point, so I get him home and like, again, I know nothing about nothing with these babies and he's up all the time. I mean, truly up all the time.
Yeah.
And this eating thing is just a complete and utter nightmare with this kid. Like I am trying to breastfeed and pump. And so I'm giving him like this tiniest little, like maybe quarter of an ounce that I'm getting. He would not latch at all. He would actually physically take all the strength in his neck and like turn it the other way.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And scream at the top of his lungs.
Oh gosh,
like, yeah, he wanted nothing to do with it. Like the whole like mouth open, like vibration scream, like where it's so loudly open. Yeah. Turning red in the face. And so he definitely wanted the instant gratification of a bottle for sure. And then like he would just eat, like overeat though. Cause I think his stomach hurt is my guess now, like knowing what I know, but I didn't know back then. And then he would upchuck, and I am talking like this kid puked so much. So I remember one of my good friends coming over to visit me. And again, she didn't have kids of her own, really wasn't around kids. And like, so I would like dress Remy in these cute little like onesies and jeans. So like I'd dress him like a little man because I thought it was just so fun. And so I'd get him all dressed and I'd just have this little like peanut of mine. And, you know, he's sitting with me and I'm holding him. And like he would sit like straight up like the flipping exorcist and shoot vomit across the room. Like this stuff would like fly out of his mouth. And I just had no damn idea if this was like any type of normal.
Right.
So I'm like calling people like who maybe are supposed to know, other parents. And you know what? Like here's a one piece of takeaway from this podcast is years later, my friends told me what a terrible hard baby he was. But during it, like no one acknowledged it. And I just think that's not right.
No doubt.
Because it's a weird form of gaslighting, kind of, because you're like, oh, okay, it's normal. Like, mm-hmm. I should be fine. Like, this is all good. And, you know, the reality was, is it wasn't good at all. But because everyone's like, oh, it's fine. Like, yep, this is all normal. Like, yo, yeah, a little bit of spit up. Or no.
They call it a little colic.
Yeah.
Oh, ah. A little colic. My nipples are bleeding and he has not stopped crying for 8 hours.
Yeah. I mean, and just like telling you that it's like normal makes you feel like you're not capable because it was like not really possible to do what this kid needed. Like it was wild, a wild time. And so they thought he might actually have pyloric stenosis. So he did end up having a bunch of testing done because Rem's dad actually had pyloric stenosis. It can be genetically passed down. Turns out he didn't have that, but the amount that this kid could vomit, I had to buy cloth diaper inserts that were burp rags, and I probably had 50 to 60 of them that we were constantly rotating because they were the only thing that could actually catch the amount of vomit that would come out of him. And then you'd feed him again, he'd vomit it up again. It was just like a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. They eventually put him on acid reflux meds. And it semi-helped, semi-didn't. He literally didn't sleep. And when I say didn't sleep, we're not talking about like he only sleeps for a couple hours. He just didn't sleep.
Yes.
And so it got to the point where my dad actually moved in with us for a while and we would take shifts with him. And so I would have to like essentially give myself something to put me to sleep at like 8, 9 o'clock. And then I would sleep until like 1, 2 in the morning. And then I was up for the day. So we'd switch and then my dad would sleep. And then I was essentially up with Remy until I go to work. And that was like our schedule. And this went on for like 11 and a half months, I'm pretty sure. Wow. And he, so like knowing what I know now, like we just struggled through it. And there was a lot of, I did end up having to give up breastfeeding. We tried elimination diets. Like that's something, you know, that a lot of people will talk to you about right away is like, you know, cutting out any type of dairy, which as we know, because we have a staff member doing it right now, it's incredibly difficult. Like you have no idea, as our podcast gal knows as well, how much dairy is in things you don't expect it to be in.
So much.
And so even though like I thought in my mind I gave up dairy because I'm not a real milk drinker, I don't ever think I did it to the extent that I would have needed to. Plus I was not getting enough to even feed the poor kid. And so then we went down the cycle of all these different types of formulas too. So they'll start you on the regular. And then back in the day, it was more acceptable to do soy, which you don't see as much anymore. But we tried soy. We tried the, you know, pre-broken down sensitive stuff. And then eventually he ended up on a hypoallergenic formula. But the reality with Rem is that we probably needed even one step further and to do the liquid. Because what I didn't know at the time and what no one had really like taken the time to explain to us, and oftentimes even now today you will hear many times people who, you know, are visiting with their doctor's office who's literally like, you know, we even just heard it from our staff member, the alimentum powder to the alimentum liquid are the exact same thing. Well, there's one very large difference is that the number one ingredient in the powder is a corn syrup derivative, and that is not in the pre-liquidized. One has 2% milk casein, one has 18% milk casein. Like there is actually quite a large difference between the two products, right? And so again, I think knowing what I know now, like we suffered that whole first year with Remington. It was incredibly difficult. Like I was like, I am never doing this again. And I mean, we couldn't even like go places and be at all normal. He always threw up on everybody's stuff. And in fact, one of my good friends, Heather, will always tell the story. She got a brand new couch and I was over there with Rem and I was just holding him. I wasn't even by the damn couch. Like I wasn't even by it. Like I was probably like 3 feet away from it. I'm not even kidding. And he shot vomit across my shoulder and it hit
the couch.
Yes, it did.
Oh, no.
Brand new day one. She was pissed. Oh. You can about imagine.
Yes.
And she still remembers that. Like, I mean, oh, yeah. And then we went on this little like family vacation. It was me, my brother, his now wife, Rem, who was little, he was like a year, and my grandpa Tony. And like their great idea of the vacation that year was Las frickin' Vegas. So mind you, I was under a year postpartum and had a horrific baby that never slept, and decided I would go on the family vacation with them. We were kicked out of multiple casinos for Remington throwing up on the floor. I had like a security guard chase me down. Ma'am, can you get him out of here?
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
You're brave.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was, I mean, he was a lot. I mean, I had horrible postpartum depression from it. I had no clue why anyone would ever want to do this. I remember going back to work and literally just like staring at my computer, trying to drink as much caffeine as possible, but still like, oh, this is like not flipping easy. And then just like the mental strain and stress it creates between you and your partner. Certainly mine was not at all prepared for that. Now, he was around a lot more kids and I think really had this strong desire to be a parent. And then we're like, we were kind of like weird opposite roles, you know, like his parental instinct was ahead of the baby. And then obviously like I have this baby and mine kicks in, but it wasn't natural or just like, I wasn't born with this. Like yeah. I was learning with this human I love so much, but like was struggling to understand
what is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who gave me permission for this? Right. Holy shit, you know?
Yes.
So I think that you just see a lot of it. And I think it probably is somewhat what led me to realizing, too, there was a need for more support for moms. Like, mm-hmm. even though maybe a store seems like a strange thing, but even just a place where, and I've talked about this before, where someone can just come in and, like, be real about it for a second. Because that really bugged me later on when people were like, oh, my gosh, he was such a hard baby. But during the time, they would never acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, you're fine. I was not fine and he was not fine.
No.
And I wish that someone would have been like, okay, this is really difficult. How can we help you? What can we do to offload something?
Yes.
You know, instead of just telling me I'm fine. Because right. I felt like,
and this is just normal baby stuff.
Yeah. Because it's not.
It's not.
Yeah. But it is more common.
It is very common. That's why it's kind of unreasonable how little they talk about it.
Right.
Yeah. And just send you home and you fend for your own and think, I might lose my mind. I mean, Christian, he almost got kicked out of daycare.
Yeah.
He was almost 6 months old. He did not even have to go to daycare until 6 months.
Yeah.
But he was still so colicky. She called after about 2 weeks and basically gave us like, this might not work.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And like, that's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
For a lot of full-time working parents.
I mean, like, what do you even do?
Exactly. What do you do?
I mean, did he get his shit together or what did he do?
He did sliver by, but like it was very touch and go for many months and he was old. You know, like he was not just a three-month-old baby.
Right.
So it's a long time, these little babies with stomach issues.
And like, do you think that's what it was for him too?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is he still sensitive to some things or did he totally outgrow it?
He's a beast of an eater now.
Yeah. Okay.
But he, oddly, just like Ram, you know, he's probably my most laid back kid too now. Mm-hmm. So it's so funny because he for sure was like the craziest colicky baby that of the four of them. And is very much the opposite now, but it was hell. I mean, I am not going to sugarcoat that.
Yeah.
It was mentally, I mean, I'm still speechless when I think about it because it was so intense and you love them so much.
And you want to help.
Yes.
You can't.
But you can't console them at all.
No.
I mean, I read every flipping book that known to man.
Yeah.
And the only time we got sleep was if he was on top of me.
Yeah.
Oh, and for sure. And he had to have mom.
Right.
Like it was a constant battle. And we were driving car, you know. Like
yeah.
We were
driving around the bunny. Yeah.
We were taking drives to please fall asleep. We were setting the car seat on top of the dryer. Mm-hmm. You know, these crazy things that you read.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Google at the time. So like that wasn't a deal really. So,
like, I don't even know if it would have helped you because I had Google so and it was like, I just joined a group like moms wearing puke.
That makes sense. I mean, and like, who thinks to themselves, I have to give this little baby an enema?
Yeah.
But like we were, I mean, I'm Constance, unfortunately, not an exaggeration, mm-hmm. not to sound weird, but it was awful. Yeah. I mean, he was in pain. We were absolutely in pain. We were thinking just like you, like, whoever does this again and who the hell signed us up?
Yeah.
And I was like a babysitter. I was the oldest child in my family. So like I was always taking care of kids and okay. I desperately tried for Christian for like 2 years. And, you know, so like, this was not yeah. at all what I planned, that no. he was going to be crying 24/7. Yes. And unconsolable and having all these tummies and the conflict mm-hmm. in a relationship, like you said,
yeah, it's tough.
It is so tough.
Yeah.
It is so tough.
And especially like when you're kind of like you're what they want, essentially, mm-hmm. too, you know, is you become resentful because you're like, I can't get away from this no matter what I do,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I was blessed with like an insanely great daycare lady.
That is a blessing.
Yeah. Like I never got like the Remy's going to get kicked out, but like he was real so tough. He was really tough. He was really tough. Like we had a lot of conversations about it, but she definitely had a lot of empathy for me and him and kind of just was the same way, like wanting to figure it out and wanting to help mm-hmm. and to understand a little bit more. His acid reflux meds helped a little bit, but you know, anytime he'd gain a little bit of weight, like we were going backwards and his dose had to be upped. And
we did those too. Yeah. And it wasn't that.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like you want it to work. So I felt like there was that psychology of
placebo.
Maybe it is working. And then, you know, by 48 hours, you're like, yeah, it ain't working.
You would have bought us new, I bet. I would have bought us new.
I would.
I was just having this conversation with someone in my store today. Like, you get a kid like Ram or Christian, like, you're buying us new. You don't care if it's $3,000. This kid will sleep more than 2 hours. I'm probably, yeah. Snoo might be my best friend.
Yeah.
You know,
I can see, like, the way they kind of zip into that mm-hmm. thing.
Well, it actually, I don't know if you, like, fully knew this, but essentially, the minute they start moving, it starts moving them back to sleep.
Right.
So it's, like, sensing them and doing, like, everything for you. And you hope maybe it would work out. But I think the kids who have tummy troubles like ours, like they're waking up through that, kicking out the snoo, they probably knock it over. Just like little demons that rise up. I'm serious.
So true.
Like the one time when Remy, like he was so little, like so little, days old, and the way his back like sat straight up and like wah, like splatted across the room, and I just remember like looking down, like, huh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
And they're so strong.
Yeah.
Those little fools.
Yeah.
And they gotta, you know, he'd just be arching and doing all these horrible body things that, you know, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. You feel so bad. And you also want to strangle him. I'm going to lose my mind too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's even like when you see, we have, a couple staff people right now who have babies that are just a couple months apart, and like one of mm-hmm. them has this like angel baby.
She does nothing wrong.
No, she's like content so and happy, beautiful eating, beautiful sleeping.
It's good.
And then the other one, this poor gal, oh my gosh, she can't catch a break
ever.
No,
and she literally did lose her daycare.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So she is, did lose her daycare and no fault to their own. Nope. They just absolutely with the amount of other kids they had, it was kind of almost like a safety thing, which is the right thing to do at that point.
It is.
If you're unable to give that care, like kudos to the daycare for recognizing that and being like, you know what, it's in your best interest that unfortunately this child is not in the care of someone who has 10 other kids because frankly they need more attention than that. So as hard as it was, it was so absolutely the respectable thing to do of the daycare provider. And yes, and I do remember this situation though, where when our one staff member was in and talking about it, and then the other staff member was like, great, yeah, that's great. And I totally called her out when she left the room. I'm like, that was the fakest shit I've ever heard. You're so pissed at her. Like, you're happy for her, but you're also just like
oh my
F you.
Yes.
Like, I love you and I'm happy for you, but
I have been up for 4 months.
Great. Like, I literally look back, her eyes are just,
she's 4 weeks
so
old and she's
great.
Sleeping through the night.
And we're all like,
I know,
we feel you.
So you get it.
Yeah.
And like you said, I too think like the support and somebody to normalize it.
Yes.
because there's not a lot of people that were doing that either.
No.
It was kind of like a blame game.
Yeah.
And then when you're...
Did you try this? Did you do that? Have you done this? No, I fucking didn't. I didn't listen to anybody. I didn't look anything up. And I've just actually been hoping it would correct itself.
We're buying liquid gold. Yeah. It's still not working.
Yeah. You know,
like, don't tell me that we ain't right.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously, like, you're open to hearing suggestions that you may not have heard. It's the presentation of how it's given to you. Well, it's probably just this. Have you done that? Like, no. Do you want him for a night?
Right.
Try that.
Yeah, you try that.
Yeah. Maybe a couple.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me know how it goes for you. But that's the thing. Like, there were even instances where I did leave REM overnight somewhere and then was told the next day, like, oh, it went great. But years later to hear it was not great at all, which, like, honestly, that pisses me off.
Truly.
Because
at least you would have been validated.
Like, again, right.
Like, hey, thanks for making it through the night.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Not like, oh, it's just me. It's a me thing.
Right.
Like, that's how I felt. Like, I guess I suck at this. Who knew?
And as a first-time parent,
you don't know.
You don't know. Mm-mm. So you don't want to be feeling like a sucky.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you took him overnight.
And it went great?
And he like.
Oh, he likes you better than me?
Yeah.
That's absolutely. I just wish it would have been normalized. Or like even to, we have to realize too that like there's a lot of great general pediatricians out there, but also not all of them maybe specialize or look into like what's in each and every type of formula. They don't have time. Right. They have a million other things to learn and deal with. I think when Flynn came along, you know, I was terrified my whole pregnancy with him. I was like, you know, he was kind of a little bit more not on the plan side. And I was like, oh gosh, I can't do this again. I can't do this again. I did not forget what it was like with Remington ever.
No,
so
you don't.
Those people who tell you that, like maybe it's great. Some of you do, but I did not. And so I was like horrified that I had to do this again. I'm like, I can't, like I physically, this is not going to be good. You know, I was so scared. And then I brought him home from the hospital. And I remember at this point, he was still sleeping with me because the kid just didn't sleep. So I had had a C-section. He crawls into my bed with me and I've got my bassinet, you know, next to the bed. And I remember opening my eyes and it's daylight. And I was like, oh my God, is he alive? Like, because I had not woken up all night.
Oh my gosh.
Like not once. And I like peeped over into the bassinet and I was like, oh God. And then he's like, rah. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's alive. I think he slept all night.
Holy crap.
He slept 8 hours the first night. I couldn't even believe it. Now, listen, it didn't stay that way.
Yeah.
But he was very much like the 4 hour, you know, type
the
of
norm.
Yeah,
where he's just hungry and waking up.
Yes.
Yes.
Now listen, he had tummy troubles, but he wasn't as grumpy about it apparently. And I think I was more like maybe a little bit more on it too with him. He had more of like the silent reflux where it wouldn't like come projectiling out, but like he'd have a lot of like almost like aspirating. And so like when we brought him in, he actually got the chance to go down to Children's. And at Children's, they did a lot of talking to us about like the milk protein intolerances that I think we see in a lot of kids, you know, which are confused with so many different things. Like, as I was sitting in Children's and going over this with these specialists, it was like so many of the things they were saying made so much sense for Remington. And I was like, oh my gosh, like,
you had only heard a little. Yeah.
Like a lot of it. And so they essentially put him on the pre-liquid hypoallergenic formula. And he was like a different kid. I mean, he was so much easier. He grew better. He was, you know, a little bit healthier through the whole first year, definitely slept better. And then by all means, flip-flopped around where that one as my toddler was. But, you know, I think it was very valuable to learn what I learned while I was there.
Right. I mean, like, that level of expertise about it is so, that'd be so interesting.
And they were like asking me questions about like my other one. Oh, did he ever have like what people told you was baby acne, but it actually lived in some weird different places. And so these are like things that like oddly stick in my mind. And I have absolutely zero medical background. So I want to make that very clear. But like sometimes when I'm interacting with someone, I pick up on that. Like, right. I'm like, oh, like, have you ever checked with your ped about like, you know, oh, like that little bit of probably what they call baby acne or, you know, and here they'll come back in later and been like, yeah, you know, we switched to hypoallergenic something and maybe get a little milk protein, or I went dairy free. You know, that's a little bit more something that people talk about. Our staff member is fully dairy free. Yep. It is a commitment. It's for a sure.
Ton of work.
She's done a great job with it, and she's pumping and she's really dedicated to it. But when she fudges up and eats a little bit, she pays for it.
She does.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy.
You know, or so you're giving milk from like however long ago, and you might have had some dairy that day, and then you pay for that too. And they're just so sensitive to it.
So sensitive.
So my Flynn ended up staying on like almond milk until he was probably about four. Now he loves cheese and dairy, but he still pays for it. He still has tummy troubles, and like I don't know how his future will go with that. Rem's a real picky eater, I think. Subsequently,
yes,
from
he truly is
a lot of this, and like he ended up with a lot of asthma and allergies and just different things, you know. And I wish like there would have been more information when he was younger, or just like, again, normalizing it, or just someone to talk it through with. The local pediatrician that we go to here for the boys, him and I got into a great conversation one day about the liquid hypoallergenic formula. Actually, we were there seeing him for Flynn, and he bought up a corn syrup intolerance for Flynn. And he's like, maybe that's what's going on with his tummy, because he still has tummy troubles at this age. And it was like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that, because he couldn't tolerate it when he was younger. It's in absolutely everything. And it's just, it's so, so incredibly difficult to get a child that age to like eliminate that from
their diet,
what they're eating.
Yeah.
But Rem couldn't do any of the food colorings, food dye.
Right.
Oh boy. And that was another thing no one was normalizing back then.
They didn't even talk about it.
No, but it was so obvious, because like ultimately one time we went to the ER because he was throwing up so much red, and it like literally looked like blood in his vomit. And it had been Halloween, and he had had like a bag of like these, I don't even know what they were, like gummy worms of some sort anyways. But it wasn't like the same night. Like I could see, like if it was the same night, obviously you'd know it's like candy, right? But it'd been right after that, and he was just like violently throwing up red, and like he would have these big like emotional spikes and then come downs from it. And like it ultimately was pointed out to me that it is probably red food dye, and it became very obvious he could not do red food dye. He actually knew it himself eventually, where he was cognizant enough to know that I'm actually not going to eat that because I don't feel good. And it's not even just like don't feel good, like I'm going to throw up, but like I'm dysregulated.
Right.
So thankfully he was.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Halloween and Easter were not our favorite holidays, like at all. It was just not good, because again, it's in
payback
everything. So I think with the difficult baby topic, we wanted to cover it because one, we were kind of just reliving it the other day with our staff member, and she thought maybe it was something we could bring up. But here's like maybe some takeaways from it. One, like give yourself some grace. Know that you're not alone, and try to find someone that supports you in a way where they acknowledge what you're going through, because it's difficult. Two, be your own advocate. I had to do it, I think, with both of mine a couple different times where, you know, oftentimes if you're going in to see a provider or, you know, a doctor, they're only with your baby for a tiny bit, and it is inevitable that they are going to be perfect angels at that appointment. They are perfect. They don't peep a freaking word, even though they've been crying for 48 hours straight. They're going to just zip their lips when they're in there. And so if that's the case, and like you're getting maybe a dismissal from your provider at that time, or they're just not seeing what you're seeing, just make sure that you're advocating for yourself and being assertive of like, hey, no, this is really going on. I'm not crazy. Because
I had
makes
to go
you,
to other ones.
I did too. I had to switch.
By far, I think I ended up seeing like three pediatricians.
And that's
okay. Yes. I mean, I had to. We were losing our minds.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yes. And if you have to drive out of town, even if your partner's pissed about it, because I had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Drive out of town.
Yeah. It's okay.
It is okay. And I got more resources out of that one. And that's your neighbor. And he was so useful to me with Christian. Like it took leaving Little Falls and like just finding a different genre of expertise.
And there's some great providers there too. So like we do have pediatricians now, and you're, you know, but again, I think finding someone that you at least feel is acknowledging and listening to your concerns. Cause yes, I absolutely 100% have been passed off as like, you just need some sleep. You're damn fucking straight. I do. And can you tell me how I get there? Cause like, that's why I'm here.
Right.
Like something's wrong with this thing.
We need some resources. Yes.
Yeah. So advocating for yourself and your child, like you're the only one who's ever going to do it, and you're with them all the time.
And your gut instinct is right.
Yes. Yes.
Whatever you are thinking, don't doubt it.
That was my third one. My third and final is trust your mom gut. And I think, I mean, it continues on as they age.
Yes.
And it is always right. You are bonded to them in a different way. Like I even empath with one of my children, when he's having a weird or off day and I'll start feeling off and I'm like, why am I off? Like, what is going on? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I think it's my kid. Gross. Get out of my head. You cannot live here forever, child. You've given me enough hard times in life. But like, you've seen me do it where I'm ick, what is this feeling? Like, I'm good today. Mm-hmm. Why am I feeling not great? What is happening? Why am I anxious? Like, what is this anxiety? And then I'll remember, like, maybe he has something large coming up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling his anxiety. You need to get out of my body. You're not even near me right now. Whatever you're vibing my way, stop it. And you can't do this for the rest of your life either.
Exactly. Keep it a little bit yourself.
Yeah. I do not need your emotions as well as mine. Thank you.
Enough with my own.
Yeah. So that's my other thought is follow your mom gut. Yeah. And because you know them best you grew them.
You did. And even if you're a first time mom, seriously, follow your mom gut.
Cause that's where you really question it.
You do.
Cause you have no idea.
You do.
And I had none.
No, Maddie had some stomach stuff, but we were in a different spot. Yeah. You know, we had been through it a little bit and she still to this day does. So it is what it is, but you first timers, we get it. That is real tough because you question it more.
Everything, because you have no idea. Yes. Yeah, for sure. So those are little pieces. And then just know that you do survive it.
You do.
It doesn't feel like it. The days are slow, but the years are quick. Yes. And you look back.
That's a great statement.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, because they're slow in it. You feel like you're never going to crawl through it. And then you look back and you're like, they're driving.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I still remember when you were screaming at me and I'd turn up the music as loud as I possibly could. And we would dance in the living room. And I was like, yeah, you like this?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're still crying at me?
Yes.
Yeah. This is good. Now I've been deemed a baby whisperer now.
Yes, you have.
I mean, I've come up with some real good techniques at this because I spent hours and hours and hours and hours just trying to feed and soothe my child. So if you need that, listen, I'm open to it. You got a screaming kid, you need to walk away for 5 minutes, I got your back. Sometimes you just need to step outside, you know?
And truly, people do come.
Yeah, I've had it. 100% I have many times over the years. I will take the screaming kid and they will probably not be screaming when you come back, but don't take that personally because honestly, it's not you.
We will chat you and Adele will hold the baby and leave the room.
Yeah, it's fine. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in. We hope you're all surviving out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we will see you next time. Check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, all of the things, TikTok.
Things, Bob.
Yeah. And we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.